Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm Peter Tugwell, a practicing clinician, and I hold the Canada Research Chair in Health Equity. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Guidelines.
Dr. Grant hasn't felt like himself these past several days. He used to spend many of his free evenings quite happily with a book. Now he does everything he can to avoid being alone. He keeps himself busy, going out most nights with friends he doesn't particularly like, and feels pent up and anxious indoors. When he's at home, he spends most of his time brooding, worrying that he's not as good a doctor as he thought he was, that he misses things, that he's at risk of making serious mistakes. And he feels out of sorts at the office, too, ill at ease with his new team, his new patients. What happened to the easygoing rapport he used to enjoy with his patients? Take what happened today, for example. What should he make of that patient from Morocco who got up and walked out of his office the minute a psychiatric referral was mentioned? What was that all about? How was he supposed to have raised the subject? Where is he going wrong?
Dr. Lawrence Kirmayer is the first author of the Evidence Review on Mental Health of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health. Dr. Kirmayer, is referring to a psychiatrist the best way to approach a mental health problem with immigrants?
Well, I don't think bringing up the issue of seeing a psychiatrist or framing the problem as psychiatric is a good way to begin in most cases. And partly that's because in many parts of the world, the only kind of mental health services that exist are for people with very severe illnesses. And so psychiatry tends to be highly stigmatized in people's minds. Quite naturally, then, many people would defend against the idea that they have a mental health problem. And so there need to be other ways of negotiating with people what is going on and what the appropriate steps would be to help them.
So what we can do better? How we can approach this kind of patients?
Well, I think the most basic idea, which cuts across all kinds of healthcare, is to get in touch with what the patient themselves is thinking. So to take the time to hear in their own words what they think the problem is, what their own explanation is, in a sense, to elicit their explanatory model, to listen to their own idioms of distress, the language that they use to express suffering, and to get a clear sense of what they understand the main problems to be, what they think the causes might be, and what they think is at stake. The more one has some sense of that from talking to the patient, the more possible it is to begin to suggest to them some ways of moving forward, whether it's more evaluation or investigation to figure out the nature of the problems or specific interventions. And mental health interventions can be framed in ways that then make sense to people as helping them cope with the symptoms and the suffering that they're experiencing.
What are the kind of problems around mental health that we need to address with migrant population?
Well, migrants face all the same problems that populations everywhere face, but they have some specific concerns, partly related to the nature of the migration trajectory. Prior to migration, people may be exposed to a variety of stresses and traumas, some of which may be different than one would typically see in Canada. For example, people coming from war-torn areas may have seen and experienced a lot of violence and violent death, many losses, disruption of their families and whole communities, and these are deeply or can be deeply destabilizing for people. In the course of migration, people may go through similar chaotic environments like refugee camps and other settings where they face a lot of difficulties, and in particular they may face prolonged periods of uncertainty about what their future would be, so that they have to live always in a tentative way, not knowing how much they can set down roots and continue with their lives, always waiting for some determination of what their ultimate fate will be. And finally, when people manage to resettle in a place like Canada, there are many questions that arise related to how they'll be accepted and received within the country and begin to build their new lives. In fact, there's research to show that among the most powerful determinants of health and well-being after migration are the kind of reception one gets in the country where one has resettled.
All of that seems really complex to be addressed by a busy GP. What are the tools that we have in order to help us to address the mental health problems of migrant population?
Well, in the guidelines paper that we produced on common mental health problems in immigrants and refugees. We do have a simple table that outlines some of the common factors associated with migration trajectories, and it's possible to go through these relatively quickly with someone simply by asking a little bit about their story of how they came to Canada, what they went through along the way. Of course, when people express particular types of symptoms or problems, it does point us in certain directions, and so we can go into more depth in the areas that require attention. One very important point to be made, though, is the other distinctive feature of healthcare for many immigrants and newcomers may be that language and cultural differences make communication more challenging. And under those circumstances, it's very important to work with an interpreter or culture broker to be able to establish good communication.
How we can enhance our capacity of working with cultural brokers of translators?
Again, in the paper that we've prepared, there is a simple schedule talking about the kinds of things to consider before one meets with a patient, during the interview, and afterward in working with an interpreter or culture broker. And these are very simple rules of thumb that anyone can learn to apply that will enhance one's work and make it pretty easy to at least get started in that kind of work with interpreters and culture brokers. The other tool that is important is the cultural formulation, which is basically an outline for the kinds of information one can collect to understand better health problems in their social context.
Are there any other resources that can help us to do a better job on dealing with migrant population?
Well, in addition to these basic tools that clinicians can use to do a more comprehensive interview that gets at the social factors that might be relevant to a patient's health care, it's important to make connections with the larger community to be able to identify resources associated with particular migrant communities that can be used both for assessment and for intervention. We've established a website where you can find information on both national and regional organizations associated with different ethnocultural communities, as well as specific clinical tools and information that can be used for people with coming from different language and cultural backgrounds.
Dr. Kim Meyer, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health, produced in cooperation with the Canadian Medical Association Journal and the Cochrane Equity Methods Group.